You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, a program about something that impacts everyone, every day, everywhere. My name is Bill Thorne. I'm with the National Retail Federation. I'm joined today by my very good friend and colleague, Jessica Hibbard. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Bill. How's it going?
I'm doing really well, especially given what's just sitting right here in front of me, which we'll talk about a little bit more later. But you know what we're talking about?
Yeah, I can see what's in front of you and kind of starting to drool a little bit.
Yeah, I'm glad that it's in front of me and not in front of you. But today we are joined by Greg Mena of District Donut, and we are incredibly excited about this program. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to just bring you donuts. That's pretty much what I do.
Well, bringing donuts is always a great way to start, but let's talk a little bit about your business and where it is and how you got into it.
Absolutely. Well, bringing donuts is actually how the whole thing started. Our company started about 4.5 years ago, and it took us about 2 years of incredible amount of trial and error and learning of a team of three partners who had never considered making a donut prior to making the first one, and nevertheless a retail brand that is centered on an artisan handcrafted product. And so 2 years after beginning the formulation, we opened our store, our first store in Capitol Hill, Barracks Row, the Eastern Market area, in 2014. And since then, we've opened a second and have had the great fortune of opening a location in the Nats Park as well, a franchise, which is really an amazing turn of fortune as well.
That's fantastic. Wait, so when you say you're in Nats Park, are you one of the, are you a storefront there?
Right. So similar to Shake Shack and okay. A couple of the other really cool, either national or local brands. We have a branded, beautiful, big old teal kiosk where the donuts are actually made right in front of you. Our cake style donuts, they're made right in front of you and fresh, served immediately to you. Simple ballpark style. It's not quite enough space to do the incredible mastery that our chef Christina has invented for the fancier offerings that we have in our stores, but it's the same product, just a simpler style.
Is there a particular donut that goes well with beer?
Just curious. Oh my gosh. The answer is yes.
Of course there is.
All the flavors.
Everything goes well with donuts.
That's right.
Well, I was kind of curious. Did you always want to be an entrepreneur or a food entrepreneur? Has this always been your dream?
The idea of being a food entrepreneur had never entered my mind prior to one of my friends in sixth grade, whose name is Juan Pablo. He had the idea simply of a better donut. And he said, do you want to start a gourmet donut company with me? And I said, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I studied philosophy. So that, you know, not many philosophy majors have proceeded into the world of gourmet donuts. In fact, I don't think there's another one. And so he brought the idea to me. I thought it over for a little while and was taken aback by the idea and that he'd want me to be involved. But I came back about a month later and said, let's do it. And then he introduced me to our pastry chef, Christine, who's the most important part of our company. I would say the backbone of everything we do, the creator, from the donut to the design, the logos, everything. She's created all of that so that we can bring donuts to people.
I feel like there's a book idea there, like the philosophy of donuts or something that you could really develop this whole thing around.
I wouldn't let you know if I were working on something like that.
Well, I've read books about bacon. Why not donuts?
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
I'd read it.
So, as you said, you didn't think you'd be going down this career track. Where were you heading? I mean, when you thought about, this is my future, what was that?
I was considering leadership really was something I always have been drawn to, despite the fact that I don't consider myself a great leader of any kind. I, in fact, spend most of my time trying to find out why I can't be a better leader. But I've always felt in a position where I might be able to help in that way, and was in a graduate leadership program and was looking at military service, actually, training kind of physically for that, and was also looking at humanitarian style work for a group called IJM in the Philippines. And it was between starting District Donut and going to the Philippines and working in humanitarian work. And I chose District Donut.
You chose well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow.
I think so too.
So now, like, instead of military service, you're serving the military. Some of your best customers are the Marines in your neighborhood. Yeah.
That's a really cool way of putting it. I've never thought about it that way. So our first store is located across the street from the Marine Barracks of Washington, which are kind of some of the cream of the crop, the premier Marines, the president's Marines. They're involved in performance whenever Marines are doing that. And they come in and buy donuts. And after that, some of them said, we really like this place. Can we work here? And so now we have several Marines on staff, and they've been an incredible anchor for us. Their way of life and their discipline and their just concern for teammates is something that we couldn't possibly come up with a better way of doing that. So they bring that into our company, and it's just humbling to watch and to be a part of.
When do you make that decision? So I'm, you know, I've got these different pretty sure bets lined up. I mean, I can go into the military, or I can go into a firm, or I could do this, that, or the other thing. Going in and opening a store and providing a product and hoping customers come in and buy it and you are successful, that's a big decision. I mean, how do you get to that decision? You don't toss a coin.
No. Like I said, I took about a month to think the decision over, and I was actually in between trips to the country of Nicaragua, orphanages there, which is, I spent a lot of time trying to help feeding programs and such in Nicaragua. And I was in between trips there when I met with Pablo, and he asked me about this idea. And then I went on another trip, and I talked to a lot of people while I was there. I talked to everybody, my family, friends, people that would have opposing views of me, in a sense, different ways of approaching my future. And they all unanimously said, you need to give that a shot. And so I said, I'm going to take their advice. Obviously, it was my decision, but I went based on their guidance, and really with no clue as to what that was going to mean, what it would mean to open a store, which I think is one of the most fascinating things on planet Earth now that I've done it and been involved in it and looking at more.
So you think retail is one of the most extraordinary things on planet Earth?
I really do. The number of factors that have to coincide for you to succeed. I'm someone that doesn't believe in accidents, and if our company hadn't been given all kinds of amazing opportunities out of nowhere, I don't know if I'd be sitting at this table and you'd want to talk to me, but we have, and we also have seen little opportunities where just bringing donuts to someone and saying, hey, aren't those really good? And just doing that a few times and a few more times to where we have a store now. And all the decisions that went into that they're very complicated, and we didn't know how to make them. We just proceeded along and made one decision after another, and that led us to where we opened a store, but we didn't have a grand plan to start.
I think there's a donut order calling in right now.
So I think when you're an entrepreneur, you probably get a lot of advice from different people, and you talked a little bit about advice. How do you know if you're getting conflicting advice? How do you know what advice to take and what advice to ignore?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think I'm still learning that, I can trust the advice of those that, as much as I can tell, there isn't much for them to gain by telling me something that won't help me. So really just evaluating where they're coming from, trying to know who they are. And I think that goes from advisors to a customer, to anybody. Trying to know people is the name of the game in retail. Just trying to know everybody that's involved at all in District Donut, anywhere somebody's going to touch District Donut. I want to know about them, and I want to know why they want to be a part of what we're doing in whatever capacity, whether that's just eating a donut or serving a donut for us or guiding us along the way to trying to grow the ability to serve more donuts. it's a hard thing, but I've been fortunate to be surrounded by people that really liked what we're doing, and they like us. And from, like I mentioned, the Nats Stadium, that was an opportunity that really just was touches, several touches, and a relationship was built with an awesome guy in the Nats organization. And 6 months later, we have their a franchisee asking, "Hey, we're going to custom spec and build out a beautiful kiosk. It's the most custom thing in the stadium, and no one knows why we were allowed to have that color that big in the stadium, but we did, and it just happened through talking and bringing people donuts and that's it, just showing people love, essentially."
Well, speaking of showing people love and bringing people donuts, you brought us some donuts. Bill is eating a donut.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, I'll
now
just keep talking. I'm
Can
fine.
You tell us a little bit about the flavors?
Oh, he is crushing my favorite one.
I'm going to tell you what this is, because I mean, like a coconut cream.
Oh yeah, that's it, toasted coconut cream.
Thank you very much.
And it should really taste coconut. Like that. Coconut and cream, because and this is where I can explain what a district donut is. So that dough is our recipe, which has been tweaked and refined over 4 years. It's a real yeast dough. The baker's percentage is, that probably doesn't mean much to you guys, but a baker's percentage tells you what the nature of a dough is. And it's a much better percentage than you're going to find at any place that's not making their own dough. And then the pastry cream, that's not a donut filling, quote unquote. That's a pastry cream, which requires technique and can go wrong easily. But if you know what you're doing and you have a great recipe and you train people well, you can make something that tastes far better. Now, it has a short shelf life. It doesn't have preservatives. And that goes also with the glaze. And then the toasted kind of larger flakes of real fresh coconut is, that's why that one tastes like that.
I know my mother raised me not to talk with my mouth full, but she never knew I was going to be doing podcasts with donuts. So
it's an exception.
I mean, how many flavors do you have?
So at any one time, we have somewhere around 10 that will be on the menu. Sometimes a few more if there's a really neat seasonal promotional, like our spring menu will have a cherry blossom on it, or the summer menu will bring out the Nutella s'more. Things that really just, I don't even want to talk about them because I'm gonna miss them if it's, you know, if it's not on the current menu. So it'll be between 10 to 12 usually, and that's because if you're making every part of every donut from scratch, which is what we do, and it's fresh, you have to, the amount of thought that has to go into a menu is more like a restaurant, a high-end restaurant, a chef-driven concept. It's not just something that's plopped down and has a corporate menu. It's something that takes a lot of planning and execution, and could have the potential for a lot of things, you know, that retail, fast casual people consider, which is waste and things like that, where we're trying to minimize that and deliver the most incredible donut that you can have that's fresh and real.
Jessica, pass those back, please.
Okay, here you go.
I've tried that was loud.
Sorry.
So when you source, do you source locally?
We source as locally as is possible. Now, certain things like high-end, you know, Belgian and French chocolates are, you could source those locally, but to the scale that we require them in, if you're melting down chocolate, you're going to go through it a lot faster. So we use the best in the world, Calibo and Valrhona. We use the best we can find. But other than that, we work with local. Our dairy comes from a local provider named Coastal Sunbelt. They're amazing, and they bring fresh produce as well. So where possible, we do. But what's most important, especially in this kind of product, is the high level of quality, and that is all that we focus on is the nature of the ingredient, from the King Arthur special patent flour, which is some of the best you're gonna find anywhere, to the high end chocolates, like I mentioned, to fresh fruits. You know, for example, the peanut butter and jelly, one of our flavors, has a fresh strawberry jam. And then if you go to the key lime pie, you're zesting limes one by one to get the fresh zest, which then is put into the dough, which gives it this little extra bit that people might not notice at first, but that's why they love it so much.
What is that chocolate goodness that I just had?
So that's just the milk chocolate glazed. That's the simplest, probably, of the donuts, except for the vanilla bean glazed. And if you tried the vanilla bean glaze, you'll actually see little black flecks in the glaze on top of the donut, and that's because it is vanilla bean. Actually, vanilla bean, not a, you know, vanilla flavor or something that's not really going to give you what you're looking for.
You two keep talking.
So Bill's going to have donuts.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm able to keep talking because although my taste buds love donuts, my body doesn't like gluten. Mm. So I was wondering if you'd ever thought of, it seems like there's a gluten-free substitute for everything, and you hardly ever see that with donuts. Have you ever thought about making donuts for special diets, or what are the challenges in doing that?
You know, if, and I don't say this with any level of disrespect, but more as a joke, if our company were given a dollar for every time we were asked that, we probably could have opened another store by now.
Or maybe a gluten-free donut truck.
But we've made one. So we have a delicious gluten-free donut recipe.
Oh, wow.
The only problem is that we created a monster in a sense. We began serving it, kind of piloting a couple of months, and it was so well received that it created a demand we couldn't fulfill. It began to be something that customers, and somewhat rightfully so, got upset that they couldn't get it again, but we simply couldn't scale it. So we pulled it back for now until we have a larger amount of space and we can have more dedicated equipment to actually deliver something that's certified gluten-free, which is really what we want to do, rather than, because that's actually dealing with those who can't eat gluten rather than they're choosing not to eat gluten. We want to be able to serve to those who can't eat gluten, and it's a legitimate, it's a cross to bear, because we know that if you can't have donuts, that's a major cross to bear.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the logistic challenges and keeping those things separated, but that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. When you introduce the gluten-free donut, let me know, because I will move to your neighborhood and have it for breakfast every morning.
No, I was going to tell you, if it's increasing demand, don't put it on the menu. That means shorter lines. So,
right.
Sorry, sir.
Yeah,
Jessica, you can live wherever you want.
That's the hard part with a donut. Is there's a lot of questions about gluten-free or dairy-free, and we're trying to focus and do that's the key to our retail understanding is focus. It's easy to try to do a lot of things, and we would love to serve that. We'd love to come up with something for everybody and ensure that 100% of people can have a district donut. But for now, we want to focus and do this so well that then we can have the latitude to make something that you would actually even move to our neighborhood to have.
Well, I think that's true of not just retail, but any really remarkable brand in general, is that you pick something and you do it super well instead of trying to appeal to everyone. So I can respect that. Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Okay, I've got to stop. But that other chocolate goodness was over the top. So
cookies and cream, that's what that was. Oh yeah, homemade Oreos on top of that. Yeah.
All right, so... I haven't touched two, and so there will be some left over. Maybe. If somebody were to come to you and say, hey, I'm thinking of starting a business. I love books. I read books. I love to tell people about books. I'm thinking about opening a bookstore. What would you tell them? Not the bookstore, necessarily, but the fact that they're going to open a retail store.
I would tell them, it's really good that you love books, and I hope you've done a lot of reading about books, or however you'd phrase that. You should know as much as you can, but that the second you dive in and decisions are required, there's nothing that can teach you how to make decisions except making decisions. And decision-making is the most important part of being an entrepreneur, of starting a company, a brand especially, is decision making. And I know that because of how hard it is for me to make decisions often, and how little courage I have when I'm confronted with major decisions, which you know, I actually love reading, and I read biography. That's what I read. I think it's the best way of learning, is to ingest someone else's life who was an amazing person and made difficult decisions. And that is, the common quality in people that are really doing neat things or involved in really amazing things are that they are able to make the decision that they need to make. And I'm hoping to become one of those kind of people someday, but I'm still learning my way into making decisions. And it's a lot of them. It's little ones. It's big ones. It's ones that you don't even think is you don't think they're going to be important. And then later you find out that was actually really important. And I missed that. Or you do know when something's important. You make that decision and you later find out it really was that important. I'm really glad I asked people who had already walked that path, what did you do when you made that decision? And it's a combination of you've got to get as much counsel as you can, but at some point you're the one that has to make the decision, and the responsibility is on you.
It's really interesting. We did an outing not too long ago as a group, some of the senior leadership from NRF. We went to Gettysburg, and we were lucky enough to be escorted through the battlefield by a general. And he was describing this one battle, and he said, the thing that you always have to remember, especially in the military, is every decision has a consequence. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people get scared. They don't want to make decisions, but you have to make decisions. But you've got to always keep in mind that no matter what that decision is, it will have a consequence, and you must be willing to accept that. So in owning a business and running a business, how do you build a sense of community around that? Mm.
What people, I'm a big believer that a mentor of mine says, what you walk, you got, and what you got, you can give away. And what that is communicating is the idea of someone who is genuine and honest. And I am a big believer that people can always smell dishonesty. It might even be in a small way, but they can always smell when you're not kind of being real with them. And I think that has been what has gotten our team to where we are, has kept us going, you know, has us in a position where we're moving along, and we have wonderful staff members, and you know, we're looking towards a future that could be really bright. And but it's about being honest and with those closest to you, and with, you know, if you're trying to build a team, I mean, really being as honest as is wise. You know, obviously there are limits, but being genuine and really just looking one another in the eye and asking each other for help, and those are the things that they naturally create. You can try to create community all you want, and but nothing does it like just talking with people like they're like you, but just not in the same position.
Well, if you do gluten-free, you'll have a whole new community around your store. Hey. So we're just about out of time, and we're going to do a couple rapid fire with you. But before we do that, if people wanted to learn more about District Donuts, where would they go? What's your website?
Our website is districtdonut.com, and it's D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T, the full proper spelling of donut. And it's singular because that's the philosophy, the existential. We're trying to make the donut.
There's a donut philosophy.
There it is.
I would tell you, you've made quite a few the donuts, and I've eliminated them. So let's get to rapid fire. Jessica, are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm always ready. Go ahead.
All right. Well, when you're not eating donuts, what's your favorite food?
Probably a cheeseburger.
You are the ingester of people's lives with biographies. So what's the last book you read?
The last great biography I read was George Washington.
Do you listen to podcasts besides this one?
I do.
What's your favorite?
Right now, it's a psychologist out of Toronto named Jordan Peterson.
What is a smartphone app that you cannot live without?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Spotify. Music really helps me.
All right. Well, any favorite playlist on Spotify? Any type of genre you're listening to?
I'm rediscovering a love for classical music, actually.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so complete this sentence. Last question. Retail is...
rich.
All right.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for taking the time today to join us. And thank you for the donuts. Those were absolutely fantastic, and I wish everybody could enjoy them as much as I did, but you can't, so sorry. We are going to wind up, and we hope that you will go to our website, retailgetsreal.com, to learn about more topics and things that we covered today. Also, you can rate Retail Gets Real on iTunes. It helps other listeners find us. So, Greg, Jessica, have a wonderful day, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.